Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
Wind Shear, full of hot air and out of time.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 18, White Elephant. Issue 1, What Makes a Hero? On the cover, sharp red nail-tipped fingers grasp menacingly in the air around a crystal ball floating in the foggy darkness. In the mystic sphere, the terrified faces of our heroes swirl ever deeper. Down in the corner is a special glossy sticker of the Falcon logo wreathed in flames. Embossed letters proclaim this is part of the Falcon Down event.
Our first panel is inside of Peacoy, and it's got the big intro Peacoy, Lunar Lens's office, and we've got the big desk and all of the books and everything. And Lunar Lens is sitting on the edge of her desk, trying very hard to look super, super comforting. There's like a little bit of awkwardness to it because sitting in the chair, like just right next to her, is, of course, Sage. So Lunar Lens leans in and just kind of puts a hand on Sage's hand and asks, "Have you been doing the meditations?"
"Yes, I do them every day, sometimes more than once."
"Good, good. And have you felt any resonance, any swing back?"
"No, not since the event. I mean, and that wasn't really real, was it? I don't..."
"It might have been. It might show something rooted inside still. What you described within your own mind palace is a very interesting thing, that you were confronted with the hexworm there. I've been speaking with some experts, some people who can be very helpful, hopefully."
"Okay."
"We've scheduled a full-day meditation retreat for you to go on and spend time connecting and understanding what's going on." And she opens up the desk, and it's kind of like a bit of an awkward panel as she takes something out of it because she's still trying to, like, close teacher bond kind of thing, sitting on the edge of the desk, cool teacher to a minimal extent. And she takes out a necklace that, needless to say, is bird themed, because
of
nothing
course
she ever has is not bird themed.
Right.
But it is a feather that's encased in amber.
Ooh.
And she just puts it into your hand and says, "This should maintain things while you are in meditation. It might prevent your own abilities to show forth in that time, but it will also mean that this problem with the hexworm won't get worse during the time. You want to open yourself to yourself, not to it. Does that make sense?"
"Yes, I think so."
"Okay.
Thank you."
"Of course. And if there's anything else that I can do, I've got meetings for the rest of the day, but after that, I'll sit down and see if I can do some more research, see what we can figure out."
"Okay.
You're not the first of my kids that has burned out their powers. And I'll be damned if you're the first one that doesn't get them back." The next panel shows Sage walking down the hallway. And there's just a panel that's speech coming from nearby that is her receptionist saying, "Miss Lens, Mr. Lee is here for his meeting."
So we turn the page from the interstitial about Sage, and we learn that she has left for her trip, and the rest of the crew is out doing their heroing. We have Arcana, Windshear, Puck, Frequency, and Sokotoa all out separately, kind of taking care of business, keeping the status quo. I need from everyone a brief moment of heroism, a singular solo mission that you're on that is just you at the peak of your heroing, kicking ass, taking names, saving the world.
It's a scene on in a dockyards where there are seagulls, and there's a big crane that's unloading shipping containers off of a nearby parked ship. This crane brings this giant like orange weathered shipping container down, and it sets it down in the middle of like kind of sideways, like not where it's supposed to be. And there's waiting a white pickup truck, and there are a bunch of guys with guns there. And as they go to open the door, they have a key, or they probably have a crowbar, and so they pry the lock off and they open the door, and the whole shipping container is full of these big, like, they look like drums, like barrels, but they're full of diamonds, and they've all had their tops pried off. And sitting on top of one of the drums is Puck, and he's just like, "Hey guys," and he jumps off and just takes down these normal criminals.
Can you describe how he takes them down?
Yeah,
they come at him with guns or fists, or what are they coming at you with?
Yeah, well, they all have guns, and so he probably spawns a couple fairies, and they go and like disassemble the guns into their like raw goods, and he just like runs over to one of the guys, probably rolling on the ground a lot, and punches him and knocks all the rest of the guns out of their hands. And awesome. Then ties them up and leaves them like against the crane.
The first panel shows Windshear's face hitting concrete like really, really hard. And then the second panel just shows his feet kind of like waggling behind him, because he's holding on to the ankles of a big lizard alien guy who's holding on to the bottom of a futuristic like mini jumper spaceship, and they're like the lizard's trying to climb back in and going like, "No, we have to get off this planet." And Windshear's like, "Not after what you did, you're not." And we get like a couple panels that show him being just flicked into the side of buildings as the spaceship like hurls around trying to get him off of it. And then Windshear just climbs up the back of the lizard, puts him into a headlock, and just blasts air into the huge propeller blades, and the spaceship comes just spinning down, crashes into the ground, and we get Windshear like stumbling out of it with his costume just totally ripped to shreds and like blood dripping from his face, big black eye, and going, "I saved the day. I got him back."
Sokotoa is in full costume in the shopping district, and you see him walking down the street, and it cuts to, there's a panel of Isaac who's chewing on the belt that holds all the orbs. So he chews through the belt, all the orbs fall to the ground, and just then you hear like police and like a shop owner go like, "Wait, stop," and this guy comes running up the street and just trips on all the orbs. So Sokotoa kind of looks around, and everyone's like, "Oh, thank you so much. Like, you know, we got him." And he's like kind of just waving like, "Yeah, I meant to do that." And he's just picking up all these orbs and just puts it in his backpack and throws Isaac in there too.
Up on the top left of the page, the panel just shows like a kind of a cloudy night, the moon sort of sitting behind the clouds, but there's still enough light reaching down. And there's a few like shadowy figures hunched around like a corner in a dark alley. The next panel shows someone walking out of like a local electronics store, like not like a big Best Buy kind of place, but like a little electronics store. Yeah. Walking out like with like a bag of items, and all of a sudden you see there's a foot that steps out in front of them. And in the next panel, it shows Elias, who is one of Ben's gang members, who is, for those of you who don't remember, a mutant with two heads. And he says, stop right there. We're watching you. The next panel there has Faye, another one of the mutants, Faye's out of the wall. Faye grabs this bag out of their hand. And we don't even really see who this thief is. It doesn't really matter. They just book off down the road. And so in the alley, Faye and Elias meet up with Ben standing there. And they like hand him the bag. And they're like, great, nice. We got the bag. Like, what are we going to use this stuff for? And, you know, Ben just looks at them and is like, well, I've told you, we're not here to steal from the store. I heard that someone was going to steal from the store and we were stopping that. And Faye just has this confused look on her face. And Elias has these confused look on his faces.
Very nice.
So we're not stealing from the store, and they just don't quite get it. And so they start walking away. Ben walks up to like the back door of the store and just leaves the bag of stolen things there with a little note that's like, love, Frequency. And then at the last minute, he turns around, looks in the bag, and takes one little thing out of it and just sticks it in his pocket.
We get a panel of Arcana sort of shimmying up a tree and sort of army crawling out on a branch, but not realizing that there's a nest on this branch, and it tilts and suddenly tips over, and the nest with three eggs starts falling, and then stops as Arcana stops it and pulls it back up with her mind to set it more comfortably and stably towards the trunk. And then she pulls out a pair of binoculars and continues to spy.
We get these five panels, and then we turn the page and we get a full two-page spread of sort of a mist covering the two pages. And through the mist, you can sort of see the shadow of a figure. It looks like the figure is seated, but you really can't tell much about it. It's dark and sort of behind the foggy shadow. On the next page, we see a crystal ball and two hands with red nails circling the crystal ball. And you see all the little vignettes of your heroism inside the crystal ball. There's like little bubbles of Puck using his fairies and Frequency with his gang, and Sokotoa with Isaac, Arcana with her telekinetic ability, and Windshear blowing air into this propeller. So we zoom out on the crystal ball and we hear a voice. What makes a hero? The power? The skill? The opportunity, the training. Who determines which powers are heroic and which are overlooked or even wrong? Where is the line between hero and villain? Have we lost all balance? What are we without balance? A reckless group of people with too much power. We look back at the vignettes a little closer, and she zooms in on each of their faces. In the peak of their heroism, they know their powers. They are good at what they do. They're like well-oiled machines. Let's switch up the story a bit and see who ends up a hero and who gets left behind. Everyone in Protean City feels the air grow cold. The clouds gather as if it's going to rain, and a single bolt of lightning hits the flagpole in the square. Time seems to stop for all the residents of Protean City. As the air grows cold and the lightning hits, you feel the powers drain from your body. You go stiff, your eyes roll back in your head, and then there's a moment of panic, as if you might die. You're not breathing, you're not feeling anything, everything is a little terrifying. And then you get a sudden burst of energy, a new energy that you have never felt or experienced before and are completely unfamiliar with. Like, the vessel that is your body does not understand what to do with this new energy. It doesn't make sense for you. So we're going to zoom back in on the original conflicts that you had. And While you were frozen, some conflict started to arise again because, of course, you were just standing there frozen like a statue. Things are going to start to happen again. So as everybody, we're going to flash back to Puck first.
Okay.
As everybody is starting to come out of this stupor and you're feeling this weird energy, people are getting freaked out. They think you did this to them and they're mad. They're picking up their guns and they're running at you.
I think first Puck would notice that his skin feels weird and he is going to try to run away or jump up on top of a building or something like, or on top of a bunch of containers just to get out of the way because he mm-hmm. hears people like yelling and distinctly looking for him. And that is obviously not going to work because he doesn't have his super strength anymore.
Right. But as you go to jump, you feel like your knee give out in a weird way and you're like, that should hurt or have popped or something. But it's just you have these very flexible joints now.
Yeah. So I think he's probably going to fall onto the ground. And from the ground, he's going to just kind of like land with his head next to a sewer grate or like a water drain. And he's going to try to like crawl into it and get out of the way.
Okay.
Squeeze through now.
I'm going to say roll to unleash your powers.
Okay.
The part that I should mention. The first two times that you either unleash your powers or directly engage a threat with your new powers, you roll minus conditions marked. Okay. Unless or until you roll a natural 10 or higher on the dice, then you do not anymore. That's considered natural affinity or a learning curve.
All right. This could be good. So it's going to be, just for the record, this is going to be
minus five
plus freak, which is plus two minus five.
Yes.
So minus three. So seven minus three.
So you got a four.
He just like goes to headbutt the grate thinking, oh, maybe I'm flexible and can squeeze through here and just like totally flubs that and his leg gets stuck up on the concrete and.
And you start to feel all the blood like rushing to your head because you're hanging upside down from your foot that's like weirdly not as flexible as the rest of you. And underneath you, you see a scurrying of rats.
Ugh.
And you start to hear voices down the tunnel. And it's a voices that you sort of remember. I don't know what we're going to do. It's not like we can get her powers back. And you recognize this as maybe the Verminister.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming toward you. You need to wiggle that foot free and fast. And you start to wiggle it.
Yeah, so Puck would be like, hey, guy, if it's a voice he remembers, recognizes, he'll be like, hey, guys, could you help me? My foot is kind of stuck.
And they don't know you. They've never seen you before. You are, for all they know, somebody they don't want to help.
Mm-hmm.
They look at you. They walk very close to you. And Verminister like gets right in your face. And he's like, why should we help you? And he gives you like a toss, like a pinata, and he like pushes on you and you kind of dangle and swing for a second. And they just walk past you, like a group of three of them. And the push is hard enough to swing your foot free and you fall flat in the in the like muddy, gross water in the middle of the sewer.
Yeah.
That's where we'll leave you.
Okay.
Windshear, you blow air into the propeller. And in that moment that you are frozen, the alien has sort of shaken you free and you start to fall. You're falling away from the machine that had lifted you. How high were you before? Or were you still on the ground?
Like after the fight or midway through the fight?
After the fight.
Okay.
It had crashed and you were walking away, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to say that lizard man has started to get up and come at you and he's like, you wrecked my ship!
We're going to have another issue. Because one of Windshear's mutation things that he has is that he can take a beating because of his air powers.
Ooh.
And he pushes, like, he oxygenates his blood in ways to keep himself running.
Yeah, this makes sense.
And he's probably got a concussion right now. And so I think we get, like, Windshear turning around and looking at the lizard, getting his fists up, and then just, like, crumpling as his powers fully leave him. And he just collapses on the ground for a minute and we get like a zoom in on his head and we get like some thought bubbles going on and just like concentrated effort and going like, what's happening, I'm spinning, focus, bring it back, get, pull yourself together. And so we get like like rage face on his face, because that is like, you know, he pumps up and everything like that and focuses his air energy. But right now he doesn't have air energy. And so there's like a moment that he's like rage, and you see like there's like veins on his neck showing up and everything. And then just like perfect calm. And he starts to push himself up to his feet, like a little bit wobbly, but sort of like mentally focusing himself through it. Does that work?
Yeah, that works.
Cool.
So you're hurt real bad.
Yeah.
And you're feeling all the feels. I need you to go ahead and mark a condition.
Okay. That's, I got plenty. I can mark those all day. I'm going to mark hopeless.
This makes sense to me. All right. And then we're going to jump over to Sokotoa. So your orbs are all over the ground.
Kalino comes to and he starts to like put his hand on his head. And as he does, you can see all of the orbs on the ground just start to float upwards. Isaac starts floating up. You see the cars lift off the ground just a little bit. There's like people across the street have like, they're like drinking out of like soda bottles. And you see both the bottle and the liquid come slowly out of the bottle a little bit. And he looks around and he knows that he's doing this, but he has no idea why or how.
And across the way, you see Isaac start to float. Mm. And he keeps floating. And he's like twirling and squeaking. And he's like spinning around in the air, but he's going high. Like he's like 5-6 feet in the air and he keeps rising. And if you don't catch him, he's going to leave.
I grab one of the floating orbs in front of me,
mm-hmm.
and I throw it up at him. It's the net. Mm-hmm. So I catch him in the net.
Are you holding the other end of the net?
No, it like I throw it at him. It gets caught in the net and it like hooks on like part of a belt, like an edge of
a
building.
So he's anchored now.
Yes.
Okay. How are you going to get him?
I'm going to have to take the stairs. I don't know. I mean, he could try to float himself, but he doesn't know how to do that.
You choose. Are you floating yourself or are you taking the stairs?
He's going to try to go inside first.
Okay. So Isaac is now tethered to the side of a building. There are stairs on the inside. You notice as you're walking towards the stairs and going up the stairs that it feels like you're kind of walking on like a moon or a bouncy house or something. Mm-hmm. Like your steps don't hit as hard as they used to. And you feel sort of like you're skipping rather than walking. It's sort of an odd sensation. That's where we'll leave you. We're going to skip frequency for right now and jump to Arcana. Arcana, you just put back the baby bird nest and you are looking out through your binoculars, mm-hmm. and you hear panicked squawking, and the mama bird is flipping the hell out because one of her babies has fallen out of the nest. Just like it got back up there and you thought it was fine. It was not fine. He was like, he needed to fly and spread his wings that he doesn't have yet. So he's falling rapidly. What do you do?
Well, I try to stop it with my mind,
yeah.
and that isn't working.
Yeah.
So I jump.
Yeah?
And try to...
catch the bird?
Yes, catch up with the bird.
Awesome. Can you roll to unleash your powers, please?
Oh,
she almost so close. Did it. How many conditions do you have?
Two. So that was an 8.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9, you do it. And it's either unstable or temporary. I'm going to say it's unstable. You lunge forward and you manage to get your hands under the baby bird and like hold it and you go rolling. And in the rolling action, you lose it as you're rolling. So it sort of just kind of falls out of your hands. It's going to be fine, but you're not. You're still rolling like away from your post where you were looking at whatever you were looking at through your binoculars. And when you finally end up like 5 feet away from the bird lying on your back, you realize that things have gone horribly wrong. Are any of you going to try to contact any of the others?
You mean after a lizard alien kicks the crap out of me?
Yeah.
Because I think that's going to happen for a little while.
Yeah. No, yeah. When you're done with that. And once you've secured Isaac and you've found your way out of the sewers and Arcana's dusted herself off and regained some sort of stability.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone going to connect or are we feeling really individual?
I mean, I don't know if I know anything.
Yeah, you don't
know.
You
don't know anything's wrong.
I do have a question, though.
Okay, fair.
Is this something that has happened to everyone in the city with powers?
This is everyone in the city, period.
Everyone in the city. Okay, because I heard, you know, what do we call them? The miscreants. Mm-hmm. They were saying something about something. So not everyone has lost their powers, but a good number of people.
Some people managed to keep their powers. Some people might not have realized that they lost their powers yet if they weren't in the middle of using them. The Verminister may or may not have noticed yet.
Okay.
He's probably always surrounded by rats. He's in the sewer.
Okay.
So,
well, so I didn't lose my powers, but I don't know if my gang did.
You also don't know that's what that feeling was. You have no reason to believe unless you were near somebody.
I still had a weird feeling.
You had a weird feeling.
Just nothing happened.
So we get a panel that shows Winshear, and he's sitting most of the way through a wooden crate. Like he's been crushed into it and is just like lying inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looks completely destroyed. Like this lizard alien thing clearly was unkind to him.
Yes.
And he reaches up and like taps on his ear and goes, "Hey, come in, team. Anyone there?"
Yeah, Winter, this is Ben. What's going on?
Hey, my air powers aren't working. I think I'm dying.
Are you? Okay, wait. Okay. Do you need? You think you're dying? Do you need assistance? Where are you?
Can't stand up.
Okay. Hang on.
My head hurts. I'm dizzy.
Okay. I see you're over. Okay. Yep. All right. I've got. I'm on my way there right now.
Okay. Probably. I'm gonna close my eyes and just sleep it off. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I don't mean to offend you. You know how to breathe, right?
What?
Like in, and then you push it out.
Oh no, can't do that one. Can't do that one. Can do the in. Can't do the out one.
Okay, all right. I'm coming. I'll signal everybody to. I guess we'll get to you and we'll help you out.
So everybody's communicators or phones or whatever, your app starts to go off. What high level of alert are we at here?
We are at like a hard chartreuse right now. I actually don't know where that would be. I just
wanted to
are
say
there emojis
hard
that come with that?
Yeah, probably.
I think that once the if there's like some kind of an alarm or something that goes off, you just hear like a fucking loud and like a lot of sound and then nothing more from Puck.
You just chuck it.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was a thing in his ear. And all of a sudden, his senses are heightened.
Yeah,
and an alarm went off.
True. All right, so Puck's still somewhere. Arcana, Sokotoa.
So Sokotoa notices that the indicator went off, the communicator went off, but he can't do anything about it right now. So it's almost like, you know, when somebody like texts you during something important, you're like, oh, I'll get this later. Like
he left you on red.
No,
Isaac is in trouble.
He read it, and then you got the three dots for like a second, and then they just go away and never come back.
So yeah, he takes out his communicator and he's starting to type, and then it starts floating away, and he's like, "Oh, that sucks." So he goes upstairs and he goes to like one of the stairwells where there's a window he can open, and he opens the window and looks out, and you can see Isaac is tethered like across, like basically on the corner of the building when he's in the middle. When you charge your power.
Mark has powers.
You have to charge first.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
You roll
I don't even
two
know if Sokotoa knows how to do this, though. Like, what is he?
You're just concentrating. So you're starting to, like, will things. You're like, man, I wish I could or I want to do this thing. And it's going to happen to you no matter what.
I don't have any conditions.
Cool.
Which is bad for this, though, right? Sokotoa is going to try to use his burn. Hey.
You did great.
I got a 10.
On a 10, you keep 3 points of burn. You don't have to use them all right now. So let's go over what this looks like. This is the first time this has ever happened to Sokotoa. So you were standing there concentrating real hard on trying to do something.
Right. So on the page, you can see his eyes start changing color.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like aura or anything. It's just the only way you can see it is the eye. So it starts on this red color and then ends on this like sort of really deep purple.
Ooh. So now you have three burn. Would you like to use any of it?
Yeah. So snatch is the one that appears to be most useful here. So I'm going to use one burn to use my powers to seize anyone, object, or Isaac up to the size of an Isaac from someone within view.
Okay.
Because I can see Isaac.
All right.
Yeah. So I open the window enough to get my arm out and I just reach my hand out and I untether the net and Isaac and the net come towards me and kind of slowly end up in my hand.
And he's freaked out. He's like, what's
wrong? Not even from being hung up there. He's freaked out because of what I just did.
Yeah,
he's
never seen correct. That before. Yeah.
So I have to kind of like, I'm trying to hold him really closely so that he doesn't take off again.
Yeah, he's freaked out. You're going to have a hard talk with him about powers and stuff. Okay. We're going to move back to Arcana.
Okay. So I get the text from Frequency and he's a level-headed fellow. So I realize that something's like actually up and he's remote isn't just mystified by the toaster again. So I hesitate for just a second and then groan and text Frequency real quickly, say, bring him back to our place.
So Frequency, what do you find in the rubble that used to be a very successful wind shear moment?
In the rubble of what used to be a very successful wind shear moment, I find the rubble of an exasperated wind shear, who just quite literally has lost his breath.
Nice.
I'm assuming you're collapsed. You're like on the ground.
I'm probably unconscious by the time you get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I sort of like, so I'm just, I run up to you to see if you're okay. I'm kind of trying to wake you up because you're not a big kid, but you're a big kid.
Like, yeah.
I'm not going to be able to just drag you down the street there. So I'm trying to see if I can sort of wake you up.
Yeah. And I think like he comes to after a minute. And like he always looks beat to hell, but he looks exceptionally, like usually he's beat to hell and has a huge grin on his face. Right now, it's like clear that he's actually like feeling a lot of things. And so he goes like, hey, Ben.
And as soon as you come to, Frequency, in your head, you hear like a surge of radioactivity, like a loud, like squeaking, beeping, squealing, electro.
Like a crackling. Like
yeah,
a
it's a horrible, horrible sound. It's like nails on a chalkboard times 10. You hear like a huge surge, and it's painful. And then you hear silence.
Okay.
And you can no longer hear any of the radio frequencies that you normally can. You have lost your connection to technology. Can you feel that? Would you be able to notice if you had lost that connection?
It would probably take me a minute.
All right.
I think as soon as I go to use my phone, I will notice.
And we get the panel that shows you like taking out your phone and
and
Windshear's in the background going, "That's what I said." Because we've got the panel that had you like, "Ugh."
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you're going to take out your phone?
Well, I think I'm going to just try and like, so I'm assuming I got the message from Alina says like, meet back here. I usually just like send back a response. Like I just think it and send it back.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm probably sending something like, can you come meet me here first? I need help. I need help moving Ramon.
Right.
And then,
my phone does not go off because my phone theoretically has a vibrate setting and they've put it on the vibrate setting constantly.
Yeah.
But I'm always trying to turn off the phone by pushing the button that raises the volume.
Right.
So everyone knows that my phone would always go off. And so there is no like from there.
Yeah. Hey, Roman, when you landed, did you crush your phone?
And he kind of feels it aside and takes out the phone and the screen is completely shattered, but it's been shattered. He touches it a couple times and it, or no, he pushes the volume button, then pushes the power button, and it comes and it opens up and it's got like, you know, it's, now it looks like it's working. Here, help me up.
Yeah, sure. So I'm like, I'm half helping you up. And I take my phone out of my pocket and look down at like the, just like the thread of messages. And the message came in, but there's nothing that went out. And usually that's just what happens.
That's right. And in that moment, you are filled with an overwhelming despair.
Oh, a huge sense of dread. I'm a teenager who can't use their phone the way they're used to using their phone.
Everything else aside, it's just terrifying.
Yeah.
But you're also in very close contact with an empath, an emotional control, and this is hitting you much harder than it should have. Severe
emotional swing. No.
So I think Ramon gets his arm around Ben's shoulder, and like, Ramon's not super tall. Is Ben tall?
He's about this tall.
Thanks.
Yeah. For everyone listening at home, he's about this tall.
Ramon's about like this tall.
Yeah, no, Ben's people would call him short. He's not a short person, but he's shorter than most.
Yeah. They're probably about the same size then.
Yeah.
But Ramon also spends an enormous amount of time working out. I was going to say at the gym, but it's probably just climbing on buildings. So he's a kind of heavy dude. And he's just leaning so much on Ben.
Ramon, are you okay? You said you couldn't.
Hey, Ben. And he like clasps onto Ben's arm on the other side. And we get like the panel of them like really face to face. He goes, hey, breathe in. You were telling me about breathing, right? Breathe in, breathe out. What's going on? Okay. You got to talk.
I don't know. I can't hear anything.
Can you hear me?
Well, no, I mean, I could hear you fine. It's just usually everything, all the radio signals, the Wi-Fi signals, the connections, the networks, the nodes, I can feel them. I can see them. I can hear them. I am them. And I'm not feeling them right now. And I'm a little freaked out.
Ben. And like Windshear sometimes comes off as a little dumb because he's not familiar with modern day stuff, but he's not. Like he knows he used to work as an accountant, admittedly an accountant in the 50s. But so he just kind of like clasps his hands on the side of Ben's head and goes, hey, stay with me.
And normally I would ask you to roll to comfort and support, but okay. You are using your powers. So
oh no, that's not a good roll.
I am going to ask you to roll to unleash your powers to make Ben feel better.
That's going to, so this is 3 points. No, this is 6 points lower than it would normally be.
Oh no.
Because, because normally I'd be using mundane. Nope. That is a 6 minus 1 minus 3.
Great. So that's a 2. Go ahead and mark potential crushed there, it. Bro. All right. Cool. So,
ding.
So he's trying really hard to make you feel better. But
it's not working.
You just feel worse and you devolve into like a puddle of sobs. So we have broken, beat down Windshear trying to stand up on his own while you collapse to the ground in reckless tears, just a hot mess. So we're going to jump over to Puck.
And so we join him crawling out of another water drain, or maybe like coming out of the sewers into a like a 7-Eleven parking lot. And there are a bunch of people parked, and there's a guy who's coming out, and he's like, ah, and he like kind of makes like he hits the palm of his hand against his forehead and puts this like brown paper bag on the hood of his car. And he's like, I forgot. And he like turns around and goes back into the store. And it's obviously like a bag of alcohol of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And John is going to just grab it and walk away.
Yeah. So he walking down the street, snake faced and a little bit droopy
from this
drinking.
Yeah,
it's gonna be great.
Snake faced is what we called drunk in the 1950s.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna follow up one more time with Sokotoa. You've now got Isaac.
Yes, I do.
Are you going to respond to any of the calls?
Yeah. So I was gonna ask you. I have move. And it says, I can spend one burn to move to any place you choose within the scene, breaking through or slipping past any barriers or restraints in your way. Spend a second burn to move to any place you've previously been. Where are they? Because if there's some place that I'm familiar with, I just want to go straight there.
I'm going to say you guys are near Center City because it's a big open area where a helicopter probably would have landed and he probably would have tried to make a grand scene there.
A space helicopter.
Space helicopter. Correct.
Spopter.
So they're in the Center City.
Okay. So the communicator, like our communicators show where we are, right?
Yeah.
So
no.
Oh, they don't?
No, they do. I just don't know.
They do.
That's, all these apps.
That's why I was asking. I'm like, where do you know where you are? Okay, I see where you are. Never mind, I'll be there.
They do.
I'm sorry, I was just being a dick, because Windsor wouldn't know.
So I have two burn left, and I'm going to use both of them to go directly to Windshear and Frequency.
Excellent. Nice. And how does that work?
He puts both arms at his side, kind of like when Iron Man takes off, except nothing comes out. He's just doing it for show because he thinks that's what he should be doing.
Uh-huh.
And he just kind of lifts off. It looks like he's flying, but he's kind of not. It's more like a float, like a clumsy floating kind of thing.
But I have a question.
Yes.
Is it really cool? You're Sokotoa and you're flying.
I don't think it's that cool. Like, for people on the ground, it is not cool. It looks like he's been drinking and flying.
Good.
Sokotoa's scared out of his mind, probably, because he doesn't understand why this is happening. He just knows he can do it. So I don't think he appreciates how cool this is.
All right. So he a little freaked. Where's Isaac? In your bag?
Isaac is in the bag.
Yeah. Great. So we have Windshear. Frequency is starting to collect himself, get it together. Still doesn't feel his powers really, but you know, like you're getting the tears out. You're dried up. And Sokotoa is going to land near you.
Hi.
Sokotoa just flew here.
Windshear is like, he's got a hand down and he's holding on to Ben's arm, just kind of like gladiator handshake style, trying to like get him fully up onto his feet. And he looks at Sokotoa and he goes, well, that's not. See, I thought everything was shutting down. This seems different.
I feel a little different.
I don't know if I'm usually not one to drop it, but I definitely think when you land, Ben would just be like, what the fuck?
So are you guys okay? Because I got this.
Chartreuse.
I got that weird color alert. I thought that meant things were okay, but I think it's probably not, given that you look like somebody beat you up. And Frequency, have you been crying?
No.
And in that moment, we're going to turn the page and we're going to go back to the crystal ball. It's zoomed out a little bit more. You now see like, you know, a little bit of a table and a red dress. And she's very elegantly dressed. And you see her hands swirling the mist in the crystal ball again. And we see kind of the chaos that has ensued from this power switch. We see the three boys on the ground kind of coming to terms. Arcana is trying to gather her strength again. That was a pretty rough go of it. And you're checking on the bird to make sure it's not dead. And Puck is drunk somewhere being Snake Man. So she says, well, well, well. Now who's a hero after all? Let's play a game. Shall we, my pet? And you see a cloudy, large silhouette pass over the crystal ball as if he's walking behind the person at the table. And two big doors open on City Hall. And there is a puff of smoke. And out from the smoke walks Meathead. He emerges. He has a machine gun, massive bulging muscles, and a pulsing temper. He stands on the steps of Town Hall and shoots the head off the statue of Striped Eagle. Hey, hero brats, bring it on.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This episode was emceed by me, Elsbeth Denman, and I can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at And the Meltdowns. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Windshear is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at RHarvey1211. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio, All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.